Welcome to this month's Spike TV TNA conference call. Today we've got Jeff Jarrett. He will be answering questions about TNA on Spike TV as we move to prime time. He'll also be talking about this week's two-hour special on Thursday night, which features Kurt Angle's first match for TNA Wrestling, as well as Sunday's Genesis pay-per-view. And at this time, I'd like to open up for Q&As. Jeff on the line with us. Operator, if you could do that for us, please.
The first question is from James Walsh. Your line is open. Mr. Walsh, your line is open. Since he's not responding, we will move to the next question, okay?
Sounds good.
Ryan Ryder, your line is open.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
How you doing today?
Oh, good. Yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Busy, as you can imagine.
I just got a question about you from a couple of years ago. No Mercy 1999. There's been all sorts of rumors from your departure from the WWE. I was just wondering what exactly happened that day. Is there any truth to you holding Vince McMahon up or anything? And you ended up losing to China in the Good Housekeeping match there?
You know, this call is about TNA wrestling and moving to prime time. But in short, I've been asked that question many, many times. In short, it was a business deal. I wrestled and performed my last match without a contract, and there was no hold up whatsoever. They paid me the money that was owed to me, and it was a business deal, case in point, and move on.
All right, thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
The next question is from King Jordan. Your line is open.
Hey, Jeff Jarrett, how are you?
How are you doing today?
First of all, I'd like to thank you for bringing TNA to life. It's really put wrestling back on the map, and you're a big part of it, and I want to thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We're really excited about where TNA's at as a company. We've come an awful long way in 4.5 years, it has been a crawl and walk and run situation in every avenue that we've taken, but here we are going on primetime television Thursday night. First time that a organization outside of WWE has been in prime time in over 4.5 years, it's just a great, great step for us as an organization.
Jeff, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of, unfortunately, Eddie Guerrero passing away. With that in mind, what is the TNA drug policy?
We have a policy that we deal with each individual. It's no secret we've had some individuals within the company that we've dealt with on a very, very individual case that we went and worked with them through their problems. They got their problems out on the table for the whole world to see. It's taken that individual a heck of a step to do that, and we've worked through the problems. We have a policy that, we watch everybody, and if there's a problem at work, we deal with it, and we deal with it swiftly.
Jeff, would you ever consider going head-to-head with Monday Night Raw?
Absolutely, we would consider that. TNA has tried to do things. We certainly aren't going to outspend the competition. We're not going to outdo just to be outdoing. We've tried to be very smart in our strategic planning every step of the way, and if going head-to-head on Monday nights we think is the best decision, we certainly will explore that. But I believe Thursday night, it's hard to recreate history. And in the Monday Night Wars of the late 90s that everybody remembers so fondly, there was a lot that went along with those Monday Night Wars, alongside just going head-to-head with Hogan and Hall and Nash jumping ship. The Attitude Era being born, there were a lot of things that went side by side in that. Us going on Thursday night, a great television night. It leads. It's 3 days closer to the pay-per-view. It's a really good TV night. It's proven that. Thursday nights just may be our home. No, who knows what the future may hold? But head-to-head is certainly not out of the realm.
Jeff, I got two names for you. Will they ever be a TNA? Is a possibility. Goldberg and the Ultimate Warrior.
Never say never on either guy. Both guys have a storied career and have drawn a lot of money in their day. Both of them in similarities, didn't have a spectacular long shelf life in their runs. They sort of were like meteorites. They rose to the top very, very, very fast. And you know, then they went away for a while. And, you know, every time the Warriors come back, he's made a splash, whether for good or worse. He definitely is a brand name in the industry.
Jeff, I want to just compliment you on your match at Bound for Glory. I thought you were excellent with Sting, and I look forward to seeing you again, and thank you so much.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Sir, you have 16 more questions in queue. The next question is from Ryan Ward. Your line is open.
Jeff, it's great to speak with you today.
I appreciate you coming on. Looking forward to a big week for us.
Absolutely. I have several questions. Jeff, first of all, why did TNA rehire Vince Russo, considering the fact that a lot of people look at his track record and have a lot of negative things to say about him?
Well, there was one thing about Vince. Everybody's got an opinion on him, for good or worse. Vince was added to the creative process because, first and foremost, everybody wants to talk about he's a changed man, which is true. Unless you know him personally, it's hard to comprehend that. But also he has been a part of WWE at the time, WWF and WCW, and there's a lot of I was there on both situations and saw firsthand Vince's strengths and weaknesses, and we brought him here to TNA, and we want to focus in on his strengths. And also learn from his past and our past and steer him away from his weaknesses. And, we want to make the TNA product as good as it possibly can be. And he's a part of that process now, and only time will tell.
Kind of follow up on that, and somebody who I've interviewed quite a few times in the past, a friend of mine, so to speak, what's the status of Jim Cornette with TNA at this point?
You know, me and Cornette go back, I was probably 12 years old, and I don't know how much older Jimmy is than me, but back to the days of Louisville, grandmother and his mother were very good friends. My grandmother was a promoter of Louisville Gardens for many, many years. So me and Jimmy go back way back, and Jimmy is a guy who knows this business inside and out. And there's one thing you cannot replace in this industry, and that's wisdom. And Jimmy has it. He was a part of the Tennessee territory, and then he has, through his career from the Bill Watts days to the Carolina days to the Louisiana days, on up through the WCW days, and then he's worked side by side with Vince McMahon. He's been in the industry, and he, like I said, nothing really replaces wisdom. For Jim to be a part of the organization in front of the camera as well as behind, it, to me, is a huge addition because there's not a lot of people with a legitimate 20-plus year history in this business that has been a part of successful organizations, and Jim certainly has.
Okay, he does have a storied past, and he's never been he's never held that from me as well, Jeff. With Vince Russo, are they going to be able to coexist within TNA?
That's the great part about the wrestling business. That life imitates art, and art imitates life at times. And when Jim Cornette and Vince Russo are in the same room, it's a very, very interesting dynamic, and that's part of this business. A lot of times you've got to decide which comes first. Is it the ego or your personal situation, or is it about business? And the guys that draw that line and do business are the successful ones, and I consider Jim a very successful individual in this business. So that's my answer to that question.
Is Kurt Angle v. Samoa Joe the most important match in TNA history to this point?
Every pay-per-view main event, I would say at our stage and our growth, is the most important match.
Okay.
It is for a number of reasons. We are in a proving ground. The WWE, the only competitor in the marketplace, it has been around, I probably don't have to tell you, but 40-plus years.
Absolutely.
WCW had their origins were from the territory days. A number of territories ended up making up that organization, mainly the Crockett era. But, they had a lineage of 20 to 30 to 40 years. We literally started this company 4.5 years ago from scratch.
Yep.
And for us to arrive at paper prime time some 4.5 years later is a tremendous accolade, and everybody who's been a part of TNA really deserves a tremendous amount of respect. But with that being said, you know, we're only as good as our last pay-per-view, and we're only as good as our last television, and that's part of the entertaining industry.
Yeah.
Whether you're making movies or making music, you've got to keep churning out hits. And if you don't, well, you end up on the short end of the stick. But somebody with, like WWE, who's had a, you know, 20-plus years of WrestleMania, they've got some hits under their belt. We've got to continue to prove ourselves, and us going into prime time is a brand-new proving ground, so to speak. And so the TV shows have to be exceptional, as well as the pay-per-view. But what we all know out of Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, I don't believe anything – I don't believe anybody's expecting anything less than a spectacular match Sunday night.
My last question, Jeff, because I know there's a lot of people online. What other markets is TNA looking to expand into as far as maybe pay-per-view events or live events? I know you're going overseas to Portugal at some point. Mexico's come up. But what other U.S. markets are you looking at maybe for next year?
Well, right now we're in the review process of looking at the Nielsen ratings, you know, for markets. Of course, that's going to be based off our 11 p.m. time slot on Thursdays and Saturdays. So, you know, when we get into prime time, those ratings are going to change.
Yeah.
We're also looking at just by word of mouth. And in the industry, from a grassroots level, that is so very important when you're branching out. We had a proven track record, only be one show, but we did a house show in Detroit and had a great response.
Yeah.
So for us to take the next step, of course, we're, you know, we're looking at getting into the live business a little bit more in 2007. But we truly are looking not only the United States but Canada. We want to do things differently. We want to do things smart. And, you know, for me to name a few markets, obviously Chicago would have to be probably a front runner. And a market in the Northeast, we get a lot of response, whether it be website or word of mouth from the Northeast. And then obviously Nashville, our home base, Slammiversary, is coming around here. That would be a spectacular place to have a five-year anniversary. So there are certain markets that probably are a cut above the rest, but really we're looking at all a bunch of factors involved in making those decisions.
All right, Jeff, just want to say good luck with the move to primetime, good luck with Genesis, and good luck to you and your family in the future, and I look forward to speaking to you maybe more in-depthly on my show at some point.
I appreciate your call today.
Thank you. Take care.
The next question is from Doc Young. Your line is open.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
How are you doing today?
Hi, this is Doc Young from Wrestling Weekly. I wanted to ask you a question. A lot of reviewers have commented that by the end of an hour of Impact, the action and the storylines, they progress so fast that people sort of feel dizzy and have just trouble digesting everything they saw. With your move to primetime, are you looking to slow down the pace of the storylines and the program as a whole, or is total nonstop action the rule?
Well, truly, we intend to live up to our name, total nonstop action. But with that being said, we are literally charting ground that's never been done because we are taking an organization. We have 1 hour of television to promote, and most of the times it's basically 4 one-hour shows in a month, to do a three-hour pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and a pay-per-view involves anywhere from 7 to 9 matches. So to have intrigue and drama and storylines in, let's just say, more than half of those 7 to 9 matches, you know, they're right there you have 4 to 5 storylines. And on a week-to-week basis, it you know, we're talking 42 minutes of television time in an hour program. So as you can imagine, we have to be at a breakneck speed in order to tell stories. I'm like the next guy. We know that at times we are let's say we're wide open in fifth gear for the 60-minute adrenaline rush. But that's by design. We are doing programming that's never been done. We are approaching it differently. And we realize that at times in the business, if you want to call, you need to let things breathe and slow down and take a deep breath. And we try to strategically do that. But we also know that television time is very, very precious.
Right.
And it's a tough balance. It truly is a tough balance because we are doing something and promoting, like I said, a three-hour pay-per-view with a one-hour show. It's tough.
Absolutely. With WWE having their film division, are any TNA wrestlers, maybe even yourself, looking to venture into films?
You know, we are got more than enough on our plate to run a wrestling organization. But TNA Entertainment, along with Spike TV, there have definitely been discussions about outside projects. Kevin Nash has got, you know, he's definitely got his acting career going. Kurt Angle has offers. Christian has done things. I think Gail has done a few things. They've spoken with me about doing some things. But, you know, all of us really are focusing, and rightly so, on making TNA the very best wrestling organization that we possibly can. So that's our main focus.
One last question before I get out of here. The reason for your hiatus, is that to, you know, let the some of the younger guys have the spotlight a little bit?
What you saw on TV, I spoke from the heart. You know, I've been going literally wide open for 4.5 years. I've got a lot on my plate, both personally and professionally. And the place for me to be right now is not in the wrestling ring. Mm-hmm. I'm taking it day by day, and, you know, that's what I intend to do. So for me to tell you I have some grandiose plans or schemes or reasons, I don't. I'd be lying. So that's really the status of Jeff Jarrett, the wrestler. And, you know, I've going back from, you know, I wrestled 7 years on the territory days, went straight into WWF, worked there a contract, went straight to WCW, back to WWF, and back to WCW. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my career, I've had very, very, very few breaks. And this is a much-needed one.
All right. Well, I wish you guys the best of luck, and congratulations on your primetime spot. Go TNA.
Thanks for your support, man. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Your next question is from Woody. Your line is open, Woody.
How you doing, Jeff?
How you doing today, Woody?
Not too bad. A couple of quick questions here for you. On the 23rd of May, 1999, we lost Owen Hart at Over the Edge pay-per-view. Do you think the pay-per-view should have been stopped after it?
I've been asked that question many, many times. And yeah. There's not a and to put yourself in Vince's shoes, there wasn't a right and a wrong answer. For anybody to say they were prepared for that situation, you know, I don't think you can be prepared even today for it. So I think there would be heavy criticism both ways. And, you know, for somebody to say, well, this is what Owen would have wanted, there's no way that you could possibly think up that answer as well. That's a really, really tough situation, very tragic. Nothing good came out of that situation. And, you know, to this day, it almost seems unbelievable, unreal that happened.
Yeah. Can I get your thoughts on the events that took place in Connecticut this week with the house show being canceled?
Say that again?
Can I get your thoughts on the events that took place in Connecticut this weekend with the TNA show being canceled?
Well, I obviously wasn't there. I was in Dallas with a Spike appearance. But all I have really to comment on that situation is the questions asked. Their shows run all over, not just Connecticut, but all over Northeast. And I've heard of to tell you the truth, I haven't heard of any show that has been canceled the day of or you know, maybe there's been some shows canceled a couple weeks out because of ticket sales. But not only one building, but two buildings were, you know, supposedly calls put in and permits. I find that very, very odd. And if it, the old saying, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you really don't have to ask what that thing is.
Yep.
So it sounds awful fishy to me.
Okay. Is there any plans in TNA doing a tour over in Europe?
Excuse me?
Is there any plans in TNA coming over to Europe, like places like the UK and Ireland?
Yes. We've got a couple of projects, not only for Europe, but globally, that we intend to do business overseas in a completely different manner and fashion that's been traditionally done. And I'm very, very excited, obviously about the prime time, but just as much about the potential overseas opportunities because, you know, for us to come, the strides we have in 4.5 years, not only domestically but internationally, our program seen in over 100 countries, and you know, just the partnerships that we have around the world is something that, you know, when you do take a deep breath and step back and look at just how far we've come, it boggles my mind sometimes.
Okay, another quick question here. The James Gang were featured in a video outside the WWE headquarters this week. Is there anything else going to come? The James Gang were featured in a video outside WWE headquarters this week. Is anything else going to come of this? And if so, what's TNA hoping to get by attacking the WWE?
All I can say is stay tuned. And I wish, Woody, you lived here. You can probably watch it on YouTube as the weeks come. But, you know, I wish you could see the debut of Spike TV and of the weeks to come, because I'm sure that those two individuals, they've been in the fire before, and I'm sure they've got some more comments to make.
Okay. I got one quick question before I let you go. I recently got a chance to interview Joey Legend, and I take it from the interview I took with him that you're not the best of friends. Can I get your thoughts on this?
You know, I've always respected Joe. I think he's got a tremendous amount of talent. And you know, Joe's Joe, and we got a mutual friend in Scott D'Amore. And if Joe's got a beef with me, he's not the only one. That's the wrestling business, and that's just part of being in the professional wrestling world.
That's great. Thanks for your time, Jeff. Take care, pal.
Your next question is from Black Jack Brown. Your line is open.
Jeff, how's it going, brother?
Uh-oh, Black Jack Brown's on the line.
You got it, brother. What's going on?
How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. With the WWE wrestlers and the talent that's there, it's pretty evident that they want to jump ship, and I'm sure you might have heard that as well. And how do you feel about that?
Well, I didn't get the very beginning part of your question. You said the WWE wrestlers?
The wrestlers, the talent that's there. There's a lot of them that are looking to jump ship.
Yeah, by Jack, you wouldn't believe the calls.
Well, I know. How do you feel about that? I know.
I believe that it's number one, it's a part of business. It's the nature of the beast. That's first and foremost. Number two, it says a lot when you had Christian come over, you had Kurt Angle come over, and I'm sure he's not going to be the last. It says something about our organization, and we strive to absolutely make our TNA roster as strong and as deep as we possibly can. And it's something, you know, that comes with the business. When things are getting good, interesting things start happening.
I know. That's the great part of business. Almost like WCW when they were in their heyday, you know. So right now it looks like TNA is going through their spot where they're going to be like that. Brings interesting things to the wrestling world once again.
Yeah. Just to reiterate just what I said, yeah, things are getting interesting, to say the least.
All right, Jeff, you take care. Talk to you soon, brother.
Yep.
The next question is from Jim Barsala. Your line is open.
Jeff, what is the projected goal for TNA to be successful rating-wise in this new time slot?
There are some internal projections with Spike. You know, with us doing I think the average is right at a 1. I certainly think moving into prime time, you have to give it a couple of tenths of a ratings point jump. I think a lot's going to be told. Obviously, November, December, you're in the holidays. You're in sweeps months. January, February, and March is going to be very interesting to watch. But, you know, a 1-2, 1-3 would be considered a very, very successful program. Of course, internally at TNA, we want to do much better than that. But realistically, we're a brand-new product, never been seen in prime time before outside of a couple of specials. So we, you know, at times we've got our realistic hats put on. But we're expecting great things over time. Nothing happens overnight. Literally, you know, the last time Raw went, you know, back in 92, 93, when it came on, it was a process that took a number of years to build the program up, and then WCW did it much faster, but they took their Saturday night audience that had been in prime time on Saturday nights for however many years that would have been, probably 12 to 13, or 14, I guess, back from 82, so maybe longer than that. They took their audience and carried it over. And, you know, like I said earlier in the call, along with the Hogan and Hall and Nash and a bunch of other talent that was bought and brought over, you know, a huge momentum was built by other outside factors. So along with the Monday night, you had the I guess you'd call it the channel changers. So you know, we realize that, you know, we have an uphill battle, but what a great place to be. Thursday night, 9 o'clock, Spike TV is a absolutely perfect network for us. The partnership just continues to grow, and as you can see, you know, if you've got your TV on this week, Spike TV, you know, we're coming to primetime, and I'm really excited just about the development of the partnership growing.
Jeff, also, President Dixie Carter had said in the past, TNA can be a successful number two company. Is that your, I know you addressed a little bit about it, but is that your goal to be the successful number two company? What is the goal? It seems like there's a little difference between the upper management and the wrestlers, of course.
Well, I mean, I can probably clarify that they're saying. Do we want to be number one? Well, I don't want somebody working for this organization if they don't want to be number one. You get into the game to win. Can we be successful being number two? Absolutely. Just, you know, Vince has took his father's organization and completely tore down the walls and built a true empire. I mean, it is World Wrestling Entertainment. It is a global empire with offices in L.A., Toronto, New York, London. I think they're opening up a Far East office. And you know, they've probably got, I think their last filing, I think there's 150 wrestlers on staff. They are, I mean, they're gigantic in their licensing and their films division. They have got 20-something WrestleManias under their belt. So, you know, we're looking, obviously, to improve on what we've built. So for us to be number two, hell yeah, we'd be very, 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 very successful at number two. Do we want to be number one? Absolutely. Nobody gets in this game, certainly, to play to be in second place. But I think you're asking two different things.
And lastly, Jeff, I know in the past Tito Ortiz had been involved, special referee enforcer. Is the next step here to try to do something different? We saw the Hogan Nash Hall, that whole NWO thing going, using the real names and things like that, bring a little more reality. Is the next step here to do something different and bring Pride or UFC or anything like that into pro wrestling and sort of incorporate that? And tell me if I'm wrong. I think sometimes they do things like that in Japan where they have wrestling
right.
matches and UFC matches on the same card.
Right. You know, I mean, that's a very interesting proposition and definitely been discussed internally. But you know, I think we are two different audiences, and I'm talking about in the U.S. You know, I just do think that the very base of it is two different audiences if you're talking about mixed martial arts and professional wrestling. But I also think part of your question was, what is the next evolution? What's the next thing? And I think as a company, we're trying to be innovative in front of the camera and behind the camera to do things different, to do things strategically, not to do things same old, same old. And you know, is it? I said in an interview a couple of weeks ago, I think there are different ways. And when I say pull the curtain back, I'm not talking about dispelling the magic of the business. I'm talking about, like what you said, you know, things came more reality-based with the Hall and the Nash situation and, you know, the North invading the South and the business that I've grown up in, that I love dearly, has always been about capturing the viewer's imagination with emotion, anticipation, with drama, with excitement, and where you, for the 2 hours of the three-hour pay-per-view, you suspend belief and you get yourself involved in that product and immersed in it, And that's what we're looking to do. Always have and always will.
Thank you, Jeff.
Appreciate your time.
The next question is from Wade Needham. Your line is open.
Hey, Mr. Jarrett. How are you doing today?
How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. First question here is, rumors on the net have it that Monty Brown has been negotiating with both TNA and WWE. Can you confirm or deny this rumor?
All I can say is that we have severed relationships with Monty Brown and wish him well.
All righty. Have you ever worked with Zug's Rift?
Say that name again?
Zug's Rift.
Don't believe I have. I don't know where I would know that name from. You may be able to help me out there.
Alrighty. I have some questions from members on my message board. SL Bray wants to know, why does TNA think mentioning WWE on their shows is a great idea?
I'm not sure in particular what instance, but the basic premise or belief in our organization, and I've worked in other organizations where they where you you ask the viewer to act like no other organizations exist in the world, and we don't subscribe to that philosophy. The WWE does exist. That's real. They are no doubt the Goliath of the industry. They have the 20 to 30 to 40 year history, and you know, a lot of guys have roughed it for them. We've got, you know, 3D, BG James, Kip James, myself. There's a number of people that have worked for that organization. That it is a part of our history. It is a part of our past, and it is a part of reality in our business.
All righty. DOC wanted to know, throughout your entire career, what match were you involved in that was the most memorable and why?
Wow, that'd be tough. You know, I mean, you'd probably have to ask me about a particular era of my career. You know, back in the early days, me and Jerry Lawler had a memorable series of matches against the Moondogs. And if you want to go to the first WWF run, myself and Shawn Michaels and Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, we had singles and tags. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun teaming with Owen Hart, probably by far my favorite tag team partner, both in and out of the ring. You know, in WCW, the world title reigns there, you know, I enjoyed those. And then in TNA, just the fact the Wednesday nights, boy, you know, different people have told me over the years, over the last 2 years, boy, if the audience today could enjoy some of those two-hour pay-per-views that we did from the Asylum, it was groundbreaking stuff. Early days of the X Division, first Ultimate X match, you know, the Six Sides of Steel, the all that stuff that was emanated from the Asylum in Nashville. I had a different, you know, bunch of matches with AJ Styles. There was a lot of fun matches in TNA.
Stephen White wants to know, what do you think of the rumors circulating that WWE is the reason why TNA had to cancel their shows in Connecticut?
You know, it's the investigation is going on. You know, the only thing when I heard about it in Dallas, I was in Dallas on Saturday, is that, you know, what are the odds of not one building but two buildings, the inspectors from different townships showing up when I've been in, I've been around the business I've been around my whole life, but actively 20 plus years, and I've never heard of this being done, not in the north, not in the south. So there's no doubt about this fact. Somebody didn't want us running in Hartford.
Do you personally think that WWE did it?
I personally want to investigate this thoroughly, but there is no doubt in my mind somebody didn't want us running up there, and which leads you to the next question, why?
True enough. My final question here is, who would win in the guitar duel, you or the Honky Tonk Man?
I don't even think there would, you know, I don't even think there's a question to that answer. Me, without a doubt.
All righty. Thank you so much for your time, Jeff, and I got two words for you. Be cool.
Thanks, man.
Patrick Kelly, your line is open.
Hello, Mr. Jarrett. How you doing today?
How you doing today?
Yes.
I'm doing great. I just got a few questions for you. I wanted to ask you about Slammiversary and the ending of that pay-per-view where the crowd almost started a riot when you won the title back. This is just my opinion, but it seems to have become a lost art in this day and age in wrestling where wrestlers can really get the crowd to really hate them. The only other wrestlers I can think of today that have done it are JBL and Edge. What does it take to really get a crowd to hate your guts?
You got to stay true to your character. You got to have emotion, and you got to be smart. That isn't cocky. That's confident. You have to know what you're doing in the ring. That above anything is, you know, when you say a lost art, you're really hitting the nail on the head.
Mm-hmm. Now, with you taking time off from at least on TV, who do you see taking over and being the top bad guy in TNA?
The floor is open. To me, our roster is so deep and so strong in every division. You look at the X division, you got AJ, you got Daniels, you got Saban, Sanjay, Lethal, Cincy, Shelley, Starr. All of those guys are just excellent, excellent performers. In the tag division, you got James Gang, you got 3D, you got AMW, you got Naturals. And I know I'm leaving somebody out there. You got LAX and AMW. I mean, the two that are in the hottest program there. LAX is cutting edge of stuff that I've seen in 10 years. And then you go to the heavyweights, Christian, Rhino, Joe, Angle, and the list goes from there. I mean, it is really, really a deep roster. And in this business, you know, in the WCW days, in the height of the war, you know, WCW had such a deep, deep roster. They went out and bought everybody. They had literally referees making six figures. So much money was being spent. But in reality, you can only focus on so many stars, certainly in our organization, in a one-hour program, but even in a two-hour program, you can only have so many stars. So we are very, very deep when you look at it from that perspective, and the roster is very, very strong.
I agree with that. I also want to ask you about house shows. Now, from what I've read, a lot of the house shows have been getting really good reviews, and I was wondering, is there any chance of any of those shows being released on DVD?
There is a chance. And our DVD launch, and that's something that, you know, all facets of our business have, you know, they're really, really growing. I mean, we've got a UK launch, DVD launch, November 27th with, you know, Best of Joe and Bloody Brawls and Knockouts and Lockdown. You know, here in the States, we are, you know, we're really picking and choosing because we've got so much material, not just house shows, but all the Asylum days. We've got our 50 Greatest Moments DVD comes out November the 21st, and that's, I mean, that DVD is just, it'll knock your socks off. It's something, if a TNA viewer is interested in just sitting down and watching the best of the best in clips, that's a great, great piece of DVD. So to answer your question, we are definitely archiving all of the footage from the house shows, and it will be released in some shape, form, or fashion in the months and years to come.
All right, awesome. One last question. Kurt Angle coming to TNA was obviously a huge surprise, definitely the biggest surprise I've seen in wrestling in a long time. Does TNA have any other aces up their sleeve?
Well, it wouldn't be an ace up our sleeve if I told you.
That's true.
But, you know, the surprise and suspense and anticipation, it is the essence of the business. So every wrestling organization ought to be looking for ace up their sleeve.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you very much, and good luck with TNA going to primetime. I know I'll be watching.
Thanks for your support.
All right.
Your next question is from Chris Ferguson. Your line is open.
Thank you, Mr. Jarrett. It truly is an honor to speak with you.
Appreciate your time today.
Thank you. I guess the first question I have for you is, I know they mentioned Warrior and Goldberg, but there's another wrestler who's very young still. How about Chris Jericho?
Great performer. I've known Chris 10-plus years and always respected his ability. And you're right. He's a guy that his candle is still very, very young. He's got a lot of great years in him. And Chris has been smart with his money, obviously. And when he decides to come back, it's going to be because he wants to, and that's something that is a bonus. It can, sometimes some guys it can work negatively, but, you know, if Chris decides to come back, I have no doubt in my mind he's going to come back because he truly wants to and loves the industry and loves the business. And, you know, it is something that I truly believe TNA can work to our advantage because of our schedule.
Excellent, excellent. Well, the second question I had for you is, I know that on Thursday, TNA has a two-hour primetime special. Do you think if everything goes well, 2 hours permanently would be the next step for TNA?
It's obviously the next evolution of TNA programming because they, as the fans will see and probably for everyone on this call, it's probably elementary to them. But a one-hour show and a two-hour show are completely two different animals across the board. And a two-hour show has time to breathe. A two-hour show, you know, can basically have a beginning. You set your teeth into it, you know, keep the program rolling and build to a strong finish. And a one-hour show, you got to open up, and you got to open up, and you got to go when you're under our circumstances. Is it easy? Absolutely not. But obviously, you know, ratings and content obviously dictate the television world, and we're stepping up to the plate Thursday night, and I just cannot wait for it to air because this is a huge week for us. Thursday, prime time, and then, you know, a caller asked me earlier on this call about is Joe Angle the biggest match in company history? It is without a doubt Samoa Joe's biggest match ever. Angle's been in a lot of high-profile matches. TNA has had a lot of matches that have been very, very important. But going into this Sunday, to say that Joe, the pressure is on Joe, is to me the understatement of the year. He's got a lot of pressure on him, and I know Joe. The cream will rise to the top, and it will be a showdown from hell.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Well, my final question for you is back to the old WCW days. I know you might have been asked this 1,000 times before, and I'll be 1,001. Where did the slop nuts come from?
My grandmother, who's my father's mother, she has done everything in this business but wrestle. She was a promoter and started out 50 years ago as a ticket taker in a wrestling office and worked her way up, and she was a woman who made it in a man's world. That's not easy, I can tell you that. But my grandmother used to call people slappies because they would slap their gums together, and they knew more and more about less and less every day, was their saying. So I just took slappy and turned it into slap nuts. And a little trivia, the first person that I called slap nuts on TV was none other than the professor, Mike Tenay.
Excellent, excellent. Well, once again, I will be looking forward to seeing TNA going to primetime Thursday, and I do hope that TNA does a trip to the West Coast sometime soon.
I'd love to get out there.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Steve Johnson. Your line is open.
Jeff, this is really a big deal. It's amazing to see how far this has come in the last 4.5 years. Tell me a little bit about how you feel personally from 2002, knowing you were probably carrying a lot of the company on your shoulders, to the point you've gotten today.
June 19th, 2002, I can remember like it was yesterday. It may seem like it was 40 years ago, but it was 4.5. Not quite 4.5, but it's very, very gratifying. Has this been easy? Absolutely not. A lot of bumps along the way, a lot of unexpected twists and turns. But, you know, I'm not crying or complaining because literally that goes with any startup organization, not just wrestling, any startup business. It's not easy. I'm sure there's statistics out there. I used to know them better than I do now, but, you know, 9 out of 10 new businesses fold before the first, you know, 9 months or the first 12 months. And here 4.5 years later, we've got an opportunity before us that is unheard of in the history of television. The history of the wrestling business, no business has started from scratch and in 4.5 years gone on primetime television. We're seen in over 100 countries internationally. We have deals that are being negotiated as we speak to do things internationally, from a live event to a marketing to a pay-per-view situation that has never been done in this business. Our live event business hopefully will blossom in 2007. The pay-per-view industry, we're going to continue to work and market and keep our pay-per-view business growing. Our internet is just something that everybody involved with that should be very, very proud of, because it continues to grow hell on a daily basis. Every part of our organization is something that everybody's digging in, and we obviously have done it. We've been smart about things, because we've had people that have come in here and worked their butt off and have incredible talent. David Zahadi and Kevin Sullivan in our production department, I'll match them against anybody in the world, not just on creativity, but worth ethic. All across the company, everybody is digging in and has a passion just like I do, because you got to love this business, and that's why it's a niche specialty business. That's why, there isn't another organization out there. Vince McMahon and TNA are the only two national companies or global companies. I know some Japan companies and Mexico companies do some things on an international basis, but not to the degree that obviously Vince does and that we're aiming to do. So it's a hard, tough business. It's a specialty niche business, but it is something to be successful. You've got to love it, and you've got to eat it and breathe it and sleep it, and you've got to really want to do it. And then after you all got to do that, you got to have a little luck on your side, and you got to have knowledge and wisdom, because you got to learn from your mistakes, and that's something that TNA has done.
To follow up on one of the earlier questions, as you head into prime time and you head into Genesis, one of the things it appears as though TNA has done has been to develop a real strong characters, in the sense that people know who to root for or who to root against. They're not indifferent, or they're not kind of sitting on their hands wondering what they're doing. Is that intentional, or was that by design, or did that just kind of come out that way?
Well, I've been in this industry my whole life, and I'm a third generation, dating back to my grandmother. So I've got a head start on 98% or 99% of the people in this business, just because I've been around it for three generations. And at the end of the day, this business is about conflict. Irregardless of what shape, form, or fashion, it is about conflict. And you have to have good versus evil. And I know in the last couple of years people have said it doesn't have to be black and white. It's never had to be black and white. There's different shades of gray, and it's always been that way, dating back to the 60s and 70s. But it's just presented in a different form and fashion. And, you get your clips, and you buy – you can buy an episode of Impact TV, Impact, for $2. Wrestling has changed and evolved on presentation, but at the core of it, it's always been conflict. And at TNA, we never lose sight of that. That we got a character in Eric Young. What's really not to like about him? I mean, how can you not help but like him? And then when you get into the Angle Joe situation this Sunday, both of those guys have a hell of a reputation coming in. Kurt's reputation is from outside of the TNA circle, and Joe's reputation has been built inside TNA. An undefeated, it is a true dream matchup. Is it by design? Hell yeah.
Finally, Jeff, just as I've watched you a little bit, I see a lot of Tojo and a lot of Jackie Fargo and some of the things that you've done. As you step back just a little bit and look at the bad guy work you've done, or the heel work you've done, is that something you were comfortable doing, and did you enjoy that particular character?
I was a good guy for the first 7 years of my career.
Right.
And I busted onto the scene with WWF in 93 as Double J, and have never looked back. Enjoyed that's who I am. For good or bad, that's who I am. I look back on the different things I've done in my career, and I'm absolutely proud of my work, and it's, you know, I've got a track record and intercontinental runs and world title runs and stuff like that. And, you know, you get into this business to be put in those positions.
Was there a little Tojo and a little Jackie Fargo in there?
There's absolutely a Jackie Fargo in there. A lot of people will say the struts after Flair, where Fargo was strutting when Flair was a bodybuilder in North Carolina.
He's strutting in diapers.
Yeah, that's right. So the fabulous Jackie Fargo is a guy that, you know, if people today could see Jackie Fargo in his interview style, which I'm not saying my interview style is like him, but he was so authentic. It would, you know, make you have goosebumps. He was a performer like none other. He could have you laughing 1 minute, crying the next, and pissed off the next. And you know, Jerry Lawler and his, certainly before he became a commentator, was just an incredible performer. And you know, a caller said earlier talking about, you know, the lost art. Guys that latch on to certain aspects of guys that have performed in the past. The old saying that a lot of those guys have forgotten more than some guys will ever know. There's a lot of truth to that, because if you study how, you know, the art of human emotion and reaction, a lot of that can help today's performer go a long way, because it's not all about the flip-flop and flying. That's a very short shelf life.
Thank you, Jeff. Best of luck to you.
Appreciate your call.
You have 12 more questions in queue. The next question is from Adam Martin. Your line is open.
Hey, Jeff. How you doing?
How you doing today?
I had a couple questions for you, just two quick ones here, because I know some people want to jump in here. The first one has to do with ratings, and it was something that I found really interesting, because when, you know, it's kind of hard to track, you know, how many people were watching weekly in the weekly Wednesday night era, then the jump to Fox Sportsnet, it was pretty hard because that was regionalized. The Spike TV era, it's been really interesting to watch the numbers and stuff like that. Just a question for you in terms of ratings. How much do you guys watch the ratings and the quarter hours and see? I know it's a short time span, like you were talking about before. It's 60 minutes, but it's more like 42 with commercials. How often do you guys really pay attention to those quarter hours and see, you know, what's working, what isn't working? How many times do you pay attention to some of the stuff you're going head-to-head with? I mean, you guys had to go head-to-head with the World Series and some of the playoff games this year. Do those things come into play when you take a look at the ratings at the end of the day?
We look at them absolutely on a weekly basis. The thing that, you know, that you have to factor in at our, and I now I can officially say, at our old time slot, we do have a replay, the encore this Wednesday, and I'll get that out, which is going to be some pretty cool stuff. We got an encore of this last Thursday show. It's this Wednesday at 11. It has a fresh interview with the SpikeTV.com personality, talking with LAX and the flag burning incident, and it also has some fresh comments from Kurt Angle. So it isn't a complete, I'll call it a rerun. It isn't a complete rerun on Wednesday. But anyway, in our old time slot, obviously we watch the ratings on a weekly basis, but you also have to factor in this one simple fact. The HUD levels are plummeting at 11 o'clock at night. You know, the prime time in networks, you know, is 7 to 10 or 8 to 11 Eastern. So you absolutely have to look at that just the overall usage of television are plummeting when we're coming on the air. So that is a reality, and that is an uphill battle. When we move into prime time, you can throw that factor out the window. Obviously, you're going to have it's a more competitive slot, but you know, you got your football games on, and you're going to have Grey's Anatomy on, and you're going to have all the other network and cable programming. But you know what we have looked at from day one when we came on Spike were how we did what used to be in that time slot on Saturday night as well as Thursday night. In both cases, we made tremendous gains from the programming that was originally in that place. And our hopes and wishes and expectations are that this Thursday we're going to continue to improve on what Spike used to have in that time slot. Is the competition there? But yeah, that's sort of what we want here. That we want to get in a position where a lot of people are around television sets, so we're vying for that competitive eyeball, and we're getting them to tune into our programming and attempting to keep them.
And also one quick question, too. How much longer do you see your company doing television in Orlando? Do you possibly see yourself expanding out to other cities, or is that going to be something you're going to attempt first with pay-per-view, test that, and then maybe see the TV go elsewhere besides just Orlando?
Well, I think the smart situation would be, obviously, to take the pay-per-view on the road because, you know, when you're asking people to come out to watch a TV taping, there's no secret that that your priority, so to speak, would not be the customer buying audience because you have a TV world. It's just a matter of numbers. You know, when you do TV, when they do Raw or SmackDown, they're literally shooting a television program to 40 million people. They may have, you know, on a good night, however night, between what, 2 and 12,000, whatever it may be. So it's a little bit different. In our situation, I think we need to take the pay-per-view on the road and have a fantastic three-plus-hour experience where that fan walks away and has nothing but glowing reports to say about the TNA experience. And I think that's what they did when they came to Detroit at Bound for Glory. From the minute you walked in the door, you got to meet all types of personalities from TNA, and you know, you got the T-shirt giveaways, and the pre-show started, and you know, and then that show rocked and rolled, and by the end of it, when they walked out, they had a brand new champion, and the viewer and the fan went away happy, and I think it was a good experience, and I think we need to continue to do that before we begin to even consider taking the television product on the road. But, you know, things in this business can happen very fast. I was a part of WCW when Nitro went from 1 to 2 to 3 hours. And then all of a sudden Thunder came on the scene. And, I mean, it was basically an animal that got out of control real quick because of the success and the numbers that they were doing. And that's the fun part of the wrestling business.
All right, Jeff, thank you very much, and good luck to TNA this Thursday.
Thanks.
Brian Augerbright, your line is open.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Jeff.
Appreciate your time today.
I appreciate you taking your time to answer all these questions. I only have two questions for you. First of all, with TNA advancing to the pay-per-view now and going to primetime on Thursday, and you guys have your own toy line, what do you envision as the next step for the company?
You know, the last caller was probably one of the part in the next steps. I mean, the licensing program that we have from Marvel, which is a great, great, great partner in their action figures, Midway Games, we're going to be developing that, and it'll be out at the end of next year. That's going to be just a big part of our product. We've got a CD coming out on November 21st with our music, Third Degree Burn. We've got a lot of the licensing avenues opening up for us, but I'll call it taking the pay-per-view on the road, taking the live events on the road, taking the television product on the road is an evolution that we'll be doing over the next probably 12 to 36 months. But internationally is something that we're looking at of doing things differently, and you know, I don't want to reveal too much there just because, you know, we are in the strategic planning process, but globally we have some things on our plate that is truly the next step that could be very, very big. And you know, so as far as the next step, it depends on if you're talking about a 3 to 5 year range or if you're talking about now, because we're taking a gigantic step for this Thursday night. When you go from and right at a year's time, a Saturday night 11 p.m. to a Thursday night 11 p.m. to a primetime shot, and we are 52 weeks a year, no reruns, the beauty of wrestling, and you know, the numbers that WWE do on a Monday night, a 3-6, 3-8, 4-0, on a 52-week basis, that's just unheard of in the television industry. You know, football has its seasons, and depending upon the game, they get good ratings, and you know, the different seasons that different sports have that do some good numbers. And then if you want to go over there to Nickelodeon and the Disney Channel and that kind of stuff that, you know, that does good numbers. But wrestling, and that's something that I'm so happy my family's been a part of, it truly is a magical form of entertainment that appeals to the masses. It really, that's who, you know, who likes wrestling? Oh, nobody but the masses. And that's the real truth of it. We've got fan bases from around the world that are very rabid, very vocal, but that's what's unique, and that's what makes our industry so good and so special that, you know, everybody likes to play Monday morning quarterback. But, you know, that's old hat to wrestling because everybody likes to play booker, likes to play finisher, likes to be TV writer, likes to be promoter, likes to be you live vicariously. You're going to be a manager one day, a wrestler next in your mind. Everybody can relate to wrestling because it is Shakespeare to the masses.
That's very much true. That's the point I try to get across to several of our readers because I have a weekly column. Secondly, Jeff, you've taken time off now for the first time, and as you said, many, many, many years. What's been going on with you? Have you just been relaxing, or are you taking more of a look at the business aspect of TNA as opposed to the talent and putting your body out there along with all these other superstars?
Well, this call is not about me and my career, and I answered it earlier, but the place for me not to be right now is inside a wrestling ring. Like I said, I've got personal and professional things that I'm taking care of, and on the professional side, you know, prime time, it doesn't get any more important than that, and I'm doing everything in my power that I can humanly possibly do to make the primetime product as good as it can be.
All right, Jeff, thanks a lot for your time, and hope all goes well with primetime on Thursday, and can't wait for Genesis on Sunday.
All right, thanks for your support, man.
James Walsh, your line is open.
Ah, I got through this time. How you doing, Mr. Jarrett? Good to speak with you.
Hey, James, they cut you out. You were supposed to be the first call.
That is correct. Thanks for remembering. My question for you is, I call them Trekkies of sorts, the internet wrestling crowd that has been, you're the guy who gave TNA birth, it's been your vision since the beginning, and they're the ones who constantly are saying things like, oh, Jeff Jarrett's killing the company. What is your opinion on some of the people who have been overly critical of yourself?
Hey, that's what this business is all about. If you got thin skin in this business, you better run for the hills and get as far and as fast away from it as you possibly can. They're entitled to their opinion. You know, my answer is, we're in prime time this Thursday night. That says it all. I'm and couldn't be happier for it. You know, I am, and I take it. I'm not complaining. I am judged differently than any other wrestler on our roster, and I'm not denying that. But what I will say is what you just said. 4.5 years ago in Huntsville, Alabama, a company called TNA was born, and 4.5 years later, through a lot of trials and tribulations and a lot of hard, it's hard for me to put in words, and I don't do it justice, the amount of work and man hours and passion and truly blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into this organization, the proof's in the pudding. You know, that's not going to stop guys from being critical, nor do I want to stop them. I think that's what makes our business so unique, so special, is that people are so passionate about our business that they will sit down at their computer and just go to town and criticize the hell out of everything they watch. And that's what makes it unique. But you know what? As long as they're watching, as long as they're out there talking it, you can't buy advertising like that.
Well, from a guy who actually ordered the first pay-per-view and, to be honest, ordered the majority of the Wednesday night pay-per-views, one of the things that was great about the Wednesday night shows is that they were live. And that's still what's great about the Sunday night pay-per-views is they're live and things like the Kurt Angle surprise. You wouldn't get that unless you were watching it live. Do you think that Impact would benefit from going live?
There's no doubt. That goes without saying that, you know, if you want to take it outside our organization and go back in history, absolutely, Nitro always had a magical feel about it. You know, controlled chaos is what at times that show was, but, man, there was something magic about it. Raw, on occasion, will have, you know, just that controlled chaos out of feeling that only you can get from live television. You know, put a football game or a basketball game on tape delay, and I, you know, the results will be in the numbers. Wrestling has that same aura and feel about it. When you do live television, it's very, very spontaneous, and everybody has to come prepared. Everybody better come with their A game, and I'm talking about from the announcers on down, because you got to be ready because when you step out in that red light zone, you can't rewind.
Exactly. Is that something you guys are planning on doing, or is that something that's still on the cards?
You know, it'll be in development between TNA and Spike, and we're doing things smart, and you know, if you want to turn the flip side, when you have a tape show, the magic of post-production can lend itself and present itself, and you have to take, the negatives of non-live and turn those into positives, and that is done through post-production on all accounts, and you get a very, very well-produced wrestling show.
Well, I'd like to wish you the best of luck both with your TNA wrestling product. I'll be watching this Thursday. It's a big step for the company. And with your personal life, and I'll just leave it at that. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate your support today.
The next question is from James Gutman. Your line is open.
Hey, Jeff. How are you, man?
How you doing today, James?
I'm doing good. I just have one question for you. We've talked a lot about the 4.5-year history of TNA, and you guys are on an upswing now, but looking back on the last 4 years, if you could pick one thing that you think was a mistake, either creatively or maybe behind the scenes, that if you could go back, maybe you would do a little bit differently, what would you choose and why?
Oh, man, let me think. As a philosophy, and I'll come up with something, but as a philosophy, I've always tried to take, I had an old basketball coach who taught me this. You never learn from victories. You always learn from defeats. And that really is true in life. But if you want to talk about mistakes, I'll give you one. the Duck Cup.
Right.
You know what? We tried it. And you don't ever know if you don't try Duck Cups, if you don't try Ultimate X's. The Ultimate X's could have been a colossal failure. But now it is probably the most unique match in wrestling, and with the stars and the talents in the X division, those things are only going to get better. So for every, I just hope that for every Duck Cup, you have 10 Ultimate X's.
That was actually the example I was going to use when I first asked you the question was a Duck Cup. That's it, Jeff. I know there's a lot of people waiting. Good luck to you guys this week. All the best, man.
Appreciate your support, man.
The next question is from James Lowe. Your line is open.
Mexico's favorite son, Jeff Jarrett. How you doing, buddy?
There you go.
I'll tell you, I started watching AAA a few years ago, and I had watched the Latin Lover match, and it's great stuff. Throwing tortillas at those people, it's just hilarious. How do you are you worried about some of the security issues in Mexico when you're down there? Like there was an incident I saw one time where you walked out down the ramp, and it's like they backed up a garbage truck and hit reverse.
Yeah, I had a caller earlier today about a lost art. You know, in Mexico and in those arenas, there's a lot of build up to those matches, and I'm the American blonde-haired, blue-eyed champion walking into the arena. Like I said on the call earlier about Eric Young, there's what's there not to like about Eric? Well, when I walk into Mexico City, there's not a lot to like about me. I let them have it. I let them I voice my opinion, and I touch human emotion. I touch their heart in a very negative kind of way, and they voice their opinion. The Hispanics are very passionate people to begin with, and it's certainly I invoke their emotion down there as well.
It's an amazing thing. I'm just
the truth hurts.
Yes, apparently it does. Another question I had was now that Antonio Pena has passed away, and the rumors of a potential CMLL AAA show may or may not happen. Would TNA ever consider bringing in Mystico from CMLL to compete in the X division, or maybe turning LAX into like an NWO gimmick with possibly having different members from the Mexican wrestling world showing up every once in a while?
Well, I mean, Mike Tenay, the professor, that name,
yeah.
he didn't just, that name wasn't given to him. He has absolutely earned it, and Mike keeps the pulse on several wrestling organizations from around the world, and he has always brought up different names and performers, and Mystico has always been one of them. So,
he was in the PWI 500 this year, very, very high.
Yeah, we've got a working relationship with AAA right now, and Antonio Pena, I consider him a dear friend. He came to the asylum, and we worked hand in hand with each organization through the beginning, early years of TNA, and I respected him. A lot of people wanted to slander Antonio, but you know, every time I went down there and you saw those full houses, they wanted to talk, knock bad about how he promoted wrestling. Well, when you have sellout houses and excellent TV ratings, to excellent TV ratings, I think that speaks volumes. So, but certainly we're, I've heard Mystico, and there's several other names down there that would fit the exhibition, but we'll see what happens.
Okay, and one final question. I saw the build-up on AAA television when you went down and wrestled Latin Lover, and you were coming to the building, and in a world where things are taken serious and not so serious, and AAA at the time was only doing one-hour shows, that had to be the longest car ride in the history of professional wrestling. You going from the airport, and the way they chopped it up, it was like you were in the airport 1 week, then the next week you were
that was
getting on the bus, and it was like 4 weeks later you showed up at the building to wrestle Latin Lover.
Yeah, that's his style of promoting, and he told stories and was obviously very, very successful with it.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And one final question, not really a wrestling question. But who do I need to contact to book you as a guest on our radio program?
Go to TNAWrestling.com, where not only you can find an absolutely fantastic site, but also go to info, and they'll hook you up that way.
Okay. I appreciate it, Jeff. Have
appreciate
a good one.
It.
You have five more questions in queue. The next question is from Brian Elliott. Your line is open.
Hi, Jeff. This is Brian Elliott from Slam Wrestling. Just wanted to ask, do you expect the majority of your future fan base to come from the current WWE audience, or do you think that TNA is more likely to attract people who are currently disgruntled with the WWE product?
Going back on a study that was done 5-plus years ago, when WCW and WWF were at their height, basically you only had a 10 to 15% crossover. You had your... But we'll call them Coke and Pepsi. You know, you had some people that like to drink Coca-Cola and some people that like to drink Pepsi. So I don't think the American public has changed drastically from that. Do I think we can capture part of WWE's audience? Absolutely, because we are professional wrestling. Both programs have wrestling rings as the center stage. Theirs is four sides. Ours is six sides. There is a difference. Ours it's more innovative and looks more like 2006. But I think there are a lot of fans out there that went away from wrestling, that quit watching when WCW went out of business, and have gradually found interest in other types of entertainment. And I think they are, I think they're out there for us to find and us to get.
So there's the opportunity, really, or you think, to take from both WWE's fan base and from fans who then have not, who are not currently watching WWE?
Well, I think our opportunity is more for me. I'll call it the non-WWE watcher.
Yeah. Okay, that's all I wanted to ask. Thank you very much, Jeff.
Thank you.
Cheers.
The next question is from Brian Stoll. Your line is open.
Hey, Jeff, good to visit with you, and congratulations on the move to prime time.
I appreciate your support, as always.
You got it. I know you like to keep things close to the vest, but I was wondering, because there has been so much speculation, rumors, other wrestlers have referenced it, you referenced it in this particular call, can you just talk about or clarify or shed some light on some of those personal family issues that you've had to deal with over the last couple of years that have been so tough, some of that reconnecting that you made reference to of what you're going to be trying to do?
No, this call is about TNA and my professional life, and with all due respect, no comment.
No problem. Looking to the pay-per-view, you mentioned this certainly is going to be the biggest match in the career of Samoa Joe. Kurt Angle's had high-profile matches before. This Thursday on the prime time, we see Angle and Abyss going. I think we could speculate, guess maybe we'll see some other people get involved in that one. But as far as on Sunday at the pay-per-view, what, creatively speaking, how do you go about this? Because Angle coming in, he's still got to look strong. He's got to look like Kurt Angle, who's coming in, the Olympic hero, to the promotion, but Samoa Joe being undefeated. How do these guys go about? How do you go about creatively both of them looking and finishing strong?
That question right there is the essence of why people buy a pay-per-view. What are they going to do? What is the, you know, for the old saying, the for those who believe, no explanation is needed. For those who don't believe, no explanation will do. So whatever side of the fence, and I think obviously in this day and age, everybody knows what professional wrestling is all about. But we also are very enthralled, and the more you know about our business, the more interesting it gets.
Right.
You know, people talk about getting the curtain pulled back, but you want to be uninterested. Really, it's just the direct opposite. Then you want to say, now, what are they going to do? Because you've got the egos involved. You've got a lot of ancillary issues that all boil down. But Sunday night, when it gets down to nut-cutting time, what are those two guys going to do? How are they going to pull this off? What kind of match are they going to have? I can tell you, with Angle's intensity and what he unleashed on that headbutt,
right.
If anybody in their right mind doesn't think Joe's going to try to tear his head off, then they're insane. The pressure's on both guys, and from a creative aspect, it's going to be very, very, very interesting to watch. Every match, every move of that match is going to be interesting because the intensity's there. The ego is there. The pride is there. The pressure is there for Joe, no doubt. Is the pressure there for Angle? He puts more pressure on himself than any other wrestler that I've ever been around. And so when you put all those ingredients in, shit, I can't wait to see it right now. It's going to be a hell of a deal.
Speaking of that headbutt, how much, if at all, did that change, I guess, maybe the pace of how anticipated Joe and Angle was going to be? I mean, did that suddenly like, hey, we've got to kick this into a higher gear because we've got the feud that everybody wants to see and it's suddenly red hot?
You tell me. I mean, you talk about pouring gasoline on a fire.
Right.
And it's spreading uncontrollably. Stuff like that doesn't come around very often. And you know, the headbutt, I think one of the voiceover guys, headbutt heard around the world. I mean, I would have given anything to have filmed the reaction in the back along with the people out there because it was, I mean, the roof came off in the back of the building.
Right.
So, you know, we call them curtain sellouts in the industry when all the wrestlers are watching. I think Sunday will be a curtain sellout as well. It's very, very anticipated because both these guys got a lot to live up to.
Looking down the road a little bit, it's been well publicized that Lita's contract is coming to an end with WWE. The women's division at times has had a bit more focus than TNA. You've got Gail Kim, obviously, with skills there, Tracy Brooks. Is Lita somebody that you could see being a fit, or is that something that maybe you still would rather focus on other directions?
You know, I know Lita well. I don't know how her health is today as far as performing. You know, women in wrestling has always been a catch-22 because, you know, as far as the drama, women can do things in the wrestling industry that men never can. The sex appeal, obviously, is head and shoulders. The actual in-ring performing is tough. You know, and I don't want to sound male chauvinistic here, but you match up the best male basketball player in the world against the best female basketball player in the world. When it gets right down to athletic ability, there's no question. The female cannot compete with the male. But in wrestling, the female, the male can't compete with the female in the sex appeal, in the drama, the love interest, those kind of deals. So women in wrestling is a catch-22. It's a tough situation at times, but it can be very, very entertaining done correctly. So I'm not real sure where Lita's where her career head is at right now.
Yeah, I understand why you mentioned Chicago and a couple of the other cities for pay-per-views, but certainly you know St. Louis not too far down the road. What does the Gateway City have to do to bring TNA finally to St. Louis?
All I can say on that is stay tuned. I think you'll be very, very happy.
All right, Jeff, again, appreciate the time and continued success. Good luck on the primetime move.
Thanks very much. Thanks for your time.
Jim Barcelone, your line is open.
any talk still going on with Daniel Puder?
Daniel was interested several months back, and you're probably reading like I am. Curtin Puder, boy, they got a war of words going on, and Bubba's a smart, smart man. he's getting the mileage out of this. Bubba knows the wrestling game and been taught by the master. But no, to answer your question was, have any been talks or zero have been going on?
And quickly here, you mentioned Vince Russo being the changed person. Professionally and personally, I think he was on a Christian broadcasting program and all. Is that part of the change, or are you talking more professionally?
Both. No, I'm talking absolutely both. And you probably couldn't have, in Vince's case, one without the other. But Vince has changed his personal life, I'd say drastically. And he's been a friend of mine for many, many, many years. And he's a different guy, and so that relates to his professional side as well. And I've done nothing but enjoy the time I've spent with Vince to date.
And lastly, your father one time appeared, if I'm correct, on the WWE website, a picture of him bringing a wrestler in. Is that the case? Your father is no longer involved with the TNA company. Does he have any thoughts about how things are going in TNA at all? Or?
I can't comment on his thoughts, and I certainly can't comment on that situation.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
The next question is from Woody. Your line is open.
Yeah, just a quick question. If you had a chance to bring in any two guys from WWE's TNA, who would it be and why?
Say that again.
If you had a chance to bring in two guys from the WWE into TNA, who would it be and why?
I don't think it'd be a strategic move for me to let you know the two pieces of talent that I'd be interested in bringing.
Okay, another question. Where do you see TNA in 5 years' time?
I do what now?
Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time in TNA?
Myself professionally?
Yes, and TNA, the company.
I'm taking it one day at a time from my personal standpoint. And as far as the company, I believe we will be in an incredibly strong global presence in the wrestling industry.
Perfect. Thanks a minute, Jeff.
You have one more question in queue. The next question is from Ryan Ryder. Your line is open.
Hey again, Jeff. I actually love the Dust Cup. I thought it was kind of funny.
Do what now?
I actually like the Dust Cup. I thought it was kind of funny.
Oh, you like the Dust Cup? Okay. Hey, see, it's different stroke for different folks. I don't think you were in the majority, though.
Yeah, I know. But my question to you is Scott Steiner. He made a big comeback earlier this year alongside yourself. How is the negotiation going with him for a new contract?
Big Papa, as always, picks and chooses his spot. Scott is an incredible performer with a long history. And successful history. And Big Papa, I'm sure, will set his sights on his return at the right time. And prime time is probably no better stage, too.
Dixie Carter, how has it like been working with her for the last couple of years?
I alluded earlier today about a woman making it a man's business. And Dixie, in the country music business, I think it's a little more... she was Trifecta, her original company, Public Relations and Advertising, a very successful organization. Her transition to the wrestling business, she'll tell you, hadn't been easy. But the one thing that she does have, and not the only thing, but the one thing, is the passion she has. So it's been a great experience. Her entire family, obviously, I owe a tremendous amount of thanks and gratitude toward them. It's been an incredible learning experience. But specifically on Dixie is that she has that passion that you have to have to succeed in the wrestling business.
I don't know if you'd be able to talk about this or not, but Jay Hoffman, whatever happened with the lawsuit that was talked about in late 2002?
No comment. Wouldn't waste my time talking on him.
Okay, well, I've been watching TNA since day one, and I wish you the best of luck. TNA is upwards from here.
Appreciate it.
Take care, Jeff. Have a nice day. Thank you. Ryan Ryder with.
The next question is from Michael Johnson. Your line is open.
Hey, Jeff. Mike Johnson from PW Insider. How are you?
How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. One name that has not been touched upon is the guy who currently holds the NWA title, and that is Sting. It was well documented that he signed a one-year deal. You guys are coming very close to the tail end of that. What does the future hold for him and the company? Has there been any negotiations about extending it? Is there an extension signed yet?
I don't want to comment specifically on details, but obviously the negotiations are going on. When Sting walked out at Bound for Glory, literally that was the first time anybody within the organization had seen just how he looked. And, you know, I'd have to turn the question not just back on you, but anybody. I was very impressed. He's highly motivated. He took his game to another level, and you know, Sting's the type of individual who just has that it factor, and he's always had that it factor. When it's time to step it up, he does. We are certainly excited about taking TNA and Sting to the next level.
Okay, a couple other questions. You touched upon earlier about the internet fans. One interesting piece of reaction to the Samoa Joe Kurt Angle storyline is that there seems to be a contingent of fans who feel like it's too soon. If you had your choice, would you have drawn it out for a longer storyline before getting to that first pay-per-view match, or do you think Angle's hot, Joe's hot, we need to go with it now, and the timing's right with the primetime debut?
Well, in the wrestling business, Mike, and you know this as well as others, the creative process is subjective. There is not a right, and I'm saying absolute, there's not an absolute right and an absolute wrong in 90% of the decisions made. When we're coming on prime time, I present the question, why not come with your best foot forward? Kurt Angle, with his reputation outside the industry, outside TNA, and Samoa Joe with the momentum he has inside TNA, the timing to me couldn't be better, couldn't feel more right. I'm not discounting the critics that say it's too soon, too early, by any stretch of the imagination. And there are probably legitimately five or six viable alternative creative plans that you could come up with. And I'm sure all of those could be good. But us as a company are stepping on to the ball field this Sunday with Samoa Joe and Angle, Sting and Abyss. And if you look at it, we have a lot of critics out there that want to say that, you know, TNA doesn't use other talents to elevate other, I guess you can say the brand names to elevate other talents. Well, tune in Thursday night, and that will answer a lot of questions. We have, Sting and Abyss and Joe and Angle, and both of those situations are homegrown TNA stars versus, we'll call them brand name stars, that their reputation was built pre-TNA. To say it's too soon, they're not all 100% right, but they're certainly not all 100% wrong. And I think when we come on prime time, this is what we've been working for from a television standpoint. You know, you don't really get any bigger than Thursday nights at 9 o'clock. Certainly the head-to-head is a situation that is a possibility. But when you reach prime time, you don't get any bigger audience than prime time. So to put your best foot forward, that's what we're doing.
Okay. And one last question. You guys have cultivated a lot of talent. AJ Styles was with you from day one. Abyss was with you from the early days in the Asylum. You guys have also taken a lot of names that have built themselves up on the indie circuit, Austin Starr, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels. Some were established elsewhere. Some had just started to become established, like Jay Lethal, who you guys picked up. Do you think it's time that TNA picks up a developmental program and maybe sticks it up in Canada or runs it out of the impact zone on days you guys aren't doing TV? Because, I mean, there's an example of John Bolin, who won the Gut Check Challenge in Atlanta, who appeared a couple of times in an enhancement role in Impact and eventually wound up with a WWE developmental deal. Do you think it's time that maybe you guys cultivate and create your own program or partner with a company to have a program similar to like an OVW. So if you have raw talent that could be something in 2, 3, 4 years down the line, they're not being cherry-picked and signed elsewhere?
It's, Mike, I mean, and you brought up the perfect examples out of all these situations. That we're an organization that our competitor probably has more people working in their internet staff than we do in our entire company. And so to say, from that staffing standpoint, it's tough. But to answer your question, that's an absolute evolution of where we're at. But we're not even running live events, so for us to have a developmental system is a little tough. I think a wrestling school and start the process is an absolute must. And I think the first step would be wrestling school. The second step would be developmental and at least get them on an ongoing training program.
Okay. And one final question. If you had your chance to talk to the disenfranchised wrestling fan that disappeared when WCW went out of business or sneers at disgust at the WWE's version of ECW and just basically has walked away from wrestling and turned their back on it and just flips through it when they see it listed on their channel, what would you say to them to make them tune in on Thursday?
Well, and you're talking about a fan who has watched wrestling before, not somebody who's never
Correct.
Seen. You're talking about
a fan who's like in their mid-20s to mid-30s, and they don't like the current product that's out there, and they've turned their back on it. I have a million friends who have just moved on from wrestling. They have no interest in it, and they were diehard fans who would travel and watch everything religiously, tape everything, and now they do not watch anything. And the only thing they know is when it's brought up in passing conversation, and it's usually about stuff that happened 10, 12 years ago. What would you say to those fans to get them to tune into Impact?
Remember maybe the top 3, maybe 5 situations or circumstances that they loved about why they used to watch wrestling? Remember those 3 to 5 situations, whether it's Jeff Jarrett hitting Moolah with a guitar, whatever the angle, whatever the situation, whatever the match, remember those with fondness and great memory. And then tune into TNA and give yourself a month. Give yourself a couple of programs. Give yourself time to get emotionally invested and give TNA a chance, because we're innovative, we're in front of the curve, we do things differently, we respect the viewer. We respect their intelligence. We respect their passion more than anything, and to give us an opportunity to win you over as a fan.
All right. Thank you for your time, Jeff.
Thank you.
Sir, there is one more question in queue. King Jordan, your line is open.
Yes, Jeff, I just wanted to ask you one more thing. You started a program with Hulk Hogan a couple of years ago. I think it was in Japan. You hit him with the guitar, and after that, Hogan was never to be seen. Can you bring me up to date on that story?
Hogan had personal health issues that prevented him from participating with TNA.
And that's it. Well, can you ever see Hulk Hogan in TNA?
My understanding is that Hogan signed a 20-year deal with his good friend Vince McMahon, so I think that would put Hogan plus 70, and I do not particularly think that even if we wanted the Hulkster, which you think I'm kidding with this, he'll still have a hell of a name value at 70. I don't think the Hulkster is going to be interested in performing, so I think it's a moot point.
Jeff Jarrett, you got to get to the Big Apple, NYC. When is it going to happen? I think the Manhattan Center would be a great place.
I can't wait to get up there, because the last time I was in New York, I got out of a cab and walked over on a street corner. It was real windy up there, and behind me where there was a pizzeria, and the guys were in there flipping the dough, and it was straight out of a cartoon. The guy flipped his dough up in the air and saw me on the street and started yelling Double J, and the thing came down on his head, and The New York fan base, certainly that I spoke to and the Jeff Jarrett fans in New York, you talk about passionate. Holy smoke. So I'd love to get up there. I know that TNA would get an incredible reception in New York just because The New Yorkers let you know what you like and what they dislike, and that's really what you love about them.
I think the Hammerstein is waiting for you across the street from Madison Square Garden. Thank you, Jeff Jarrett.
Thank you.